Test 3, Part 2. You will hear a radio report about interactive science and technology centres in Britain. For questions 7 to 15, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase.
It's more interesting than I expected. I shall come here again, said 9-year-old James Stimson, who had been enjoying himself at the National Stone Centre in Derbyshire on the day when I went there. He had just seen the fossilised remains of a brachiopod, a prehistoric sea animal that predated the dinosaurs by 120 million years, one of a series of fossils found in a rock face in what, 330 million years ago, was part of the coast of Derbyshire, then comprising tropical lagoons and small islands. The area was part of a huge upland which, from medieval times, has been mined for lead and limestone and now hosts school parties and other groups. The centre has been created from 6 worked-out stone quarries. One fascinating fact that visitors to it learn is that we each consume 6 to 7 tonnes of stone a year. James couldn't believe his eyes when he read this on a display board inside the centre's Discovery building. What? We eat stone? He asked. Well, not exactly. What the display shows is that we use stone in everything, from paint to computers to ceiling tiles. 90% of the stone we use is in construction, in everything from tunnels to tennis courts. But stone is also used in plastics, so you will find it in cars, ships and planes. And as it is also used in producing sugar, flour, pharmaceuticals and poultry feed, we all eat a certain amount of stone. James and some friends in his party moved on to attempt panning gems from mineral fragments. Others followed the site's history, ecology and geography trails. I spoke to James's headmaster, Michael Halls of Turnditch Primary School near Derby, who was accompanying the group. He told me that the National Stone Centre is a splendid teaching resource. It helps teachers to teach children all sorts of skills, from observation and looking behind the obvious to hands-on activities, such as dry stone wall building and making plaster casts of fossils. He told me that it also helps children to appreciate what a changing world we live in. Furthermore, many of the activities there fit perfectly into the national curriculum, although for the children, it's more like an exciting outing than a lesson. That sums up the philosophy of Britain's 25 or so interactive science and technology centres, built on the foundation of Launchpad, the first interactive gallery at the Science Museum in South Kensington, London, which was opened in 1985. I visited another example. On the site of 3 disused dry docks in Tiger Bay, Cardiff, Wales, a £7 million temple to science and technology called TechniQuest has been built. It houses 160 exhibits and science interactives, experiments which people of all ages can try out for themselves. The complex incorporates a 35-seat planetarium, a 100-seater science theatre, a science shop, workshop and galleries. The success of TechniQuest has been based on experiments involving liquids that you can cut, bubbles you can walk inside, and structures that roll uphill, and a philosophy against the don't-touch exhibits of traditional museums. The centre started from the premise that it wanted to change people's attitudes towards science and technology. And the idea is that people of all ages have to use all their senses to discover the fun of finding out about science and technology. At TechniQuest, you are as likely to see a granny as an 8-year-old swivelling around under discreet supervision in a specially adapted dentist's chair to experience the pull of centrifugal force, or people making odd sounds down a 15-metre-long steel tube to observe how sound waves can clash and distort one another. The favourite exhibition is Puff the Pneumatic Dragon, a huge steel creation in Welsh green and red, whose tongue, wings and claws respond instantly to the fingertip controls of visitors. Puff's arteries, the hydraulic tubes and electronic circuits that make him respond, are laid out for all to see. It may not be a formal lesson in control systems, but you cannot fail to learn. And that is true of all the interactive science and technology centres throughout the country.
That's the end of part 2.